Mazer streaks away, power flying.
Welcome back to another edition of the Power Podcast. This week I'm joined by 40.
First cab off the rank for once. How's it going, fellas?
And Ham.
Yep.
And Birdie's a little bit delayed, but we expect him to jump in probably when we're getting up to the first grade preview. But let's start. And thanks to Ham and Birdie for running through one last week. John and 40 and myself have been a bit under the pump with some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we missed that one week following our disastrous collapse against the Dolphins. Hopefully, we're coming back to preview a winning game against the Broncos, but we'll wait and see. Let's start with a winning affair, the Jersey Flegg, which saw the Eels 42 victorious over the Fiji Silk Tails. It's their first year in Flegg, is that correct?
They were a part of the one match last year, or the past couple of years.
Yeah, so the first year jumping into that flag competition. So this was played in Fiji at La Toca, Churchill Park. So having a look at the try scorers there, Bo Newlands, DeStratus 3, Max Tupu with a try as well, Jock Brazel and, Dom DeStratus with 4, and Twiddle Perfect off the boot. Did you get a chance to watch this? Did they broadcast this one?
I was aware of, yeah. From what I could extrapolate from what we saw from the scoreboard, we absolutely crushed them and then had a bit of a second half, a final quarter fade to open the door for them to score a few tries. So we took the foot off the gas, it looked like, and let them make the scoreline look a little bit more even than probably would have been reflective of prior to that.
Yeah, having said that, looking at the ladder, it appears that the Silk Tails haven't got a win so far this season, and we're only on 2.
Two in a row. It's a winning streak.
charging up the ladder. And then we'll get to it in the preview, but Storm have only had 4 wins as well, so perhaps there's potential for a victory this week. And obviously I don't think anybody else is flying over to Fiji to give us some around the grounds talk.
That's true.
all right, well then let's move over to the news. So the first one's the board update of May 2024. So apparently Cole Robertshaw and Mark Jenkins are retiring from the Parramatta Eels board of directors.
They're cross-sitting directors from the PLC, so they're not retiring from like the director responsibilities, but they're opening the way for other directors to step onto the football side from the PLC, I believe.
Understood. And so Cole Robertshaw from Feb 2017, and then Jenkins joined in 2020. So we're hoping these will be filled by some more, I guess, footy brains, if I can put it that way.
No, it'll be other members of the PLC board, is my understanding. The way it's constructed is that the Parramatta Football Board has 2 cross-sitting members from the Leagues Club. So the two from their current... The two you just mentioned there.
Leagues Club will be Leagues Club directors who then sit on the footballing board.
Yes.
I see.
That's my understanding. I could be wrong, but that's how I believe it works.
Yeah, there's the two new directors have been elected through a nomination committee, and the club is pleased to announce John Forrest and PLC-nominated director Sue Coleman to be joining the board in 2024. I don't know anything about them, but hopefully they start kicking our recruitment and retention team into gear.
Well... We might talk on it later, but doesn't look like it.
Next bit of news is the Eels revealing their 2024 Indigenous Round jersey, a story of journey to the gathering place. So the journey was designed by Indigenous artist and Gamila Roy with a jury. Butchered that, my apologies. Man Sean Duncan Kinchella, along with Parramatta Eels player Jermaine Hopgood, who's a gooding gooding man. The design represents Hopgood's journey to Darug and Barramattagal, the land of the Parramatta Eels, called home. For mine, I quite like the jersey.
Yeah
I think, I like when a jersey, in particular the Indigenous jersey, tells a story. There's the mountains, the hills, the river, and then, of course, Jermaine's totem there with the owl. I think it's really nice. I always like the Indigenous jerseys. I think we usually hit it out of the park with them.
Yeah, I agree, Ham. I like the designs. The Indigenous art's always fantastic, the way it presents on NRL jerseys when it's done well. And I think in this case, it's just nicely done. Like you said, the totem, the owl totem creature is a nice story tie-in for Jermaine. And again, it just looks to be a very well-done jersey.
And then the next little bit of news is our present halfback. Not the one that you do know, but, well, he's not actually halfback. He's named at six, but Ethan Sanders, it's confirmed that he'll be going to the Raiders next year. Was it a three-year deal, I think?
Correct.
So we're hoping that he turns out like a former Raiders runaway in Junior Barlo, goes there, gets some experience and comes back all the better. Ham, 40, your thoughts on that?
It was on the cards for a long time, wasn't it? The Raiders were the team that he had officially or unofficially signed with prior to the CBA changes that meant that juniors or what was classified as a junior cannot sign until past round six of the next calendar year. So no surprises that he goes back to the well there. It was always going to be a tough sell to keep him at Parramatta, behind two not just established but premier halves in Moses and Brown. And he, you know, as a young and rising half, did not want to play, you know, not even second fiddle but tertiary fiddle to both of them. So he's gone to get his opportunities elsewhere. I don't know if Canberra's the right call in that regard because they've got Fogarty and Ethan Strange there, and maybe they'll move Strange to fullback or facilitate a move otherwise, get him into the lineup, because the money that I assume they're paying him, you can't be a backup. You've got to be the frontline playmaker. And look, Ham and I have tracked his journey from first year Harold Matts. It's been a blast. He's been a fantastic player all through the junior reps. Had a slow start to cup this year, but found his foot in his NRL debut, or found his feet, sorry, in his NRL debut against the Seagulls a couple of weeks ago. As always with these sort of kids, I wish him well, except when they play Parramatta. I hope he has a really good 3 years at Canberra. Maybe he comes back in the year later.
Yeah, I blasted the recruitment and retention committee last week. Still not happy with the result. I think that, I look at other clubs, they're able to retain high elite talent. I understand that we have Dylan and Mitchell signed up long term, but, you know, surely we could have offered something. He's going to be playing the same role down in Canberra as he is here. He's not, to me, he's not playing in front of Ethan Strange or Jamal Fogarty at the moment. I just look at the Melbourne Storm. They've been able to keep Jonah Pezzett. I look at halfbacks across, you know, compared to ours across the depth charts, and they're a lot better than us. And to me, it's inexcusable. But, you know, good on Ethan. I think, as 40 said, I hope personally he does well. And then once we get the right people in charge, I hope he comes back to Parramatta.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Unfortunate to lose such a good prospect, but, you know, that's how these things happen. If you're not quick on your recruitment and your retention, other teams are going to swoop in, and Raiders have been pretty good at identifying players from the Sydney region and elsewhere to bring into their system. And we've already copped that a couple of times with some of our juniors going over there. So it's really an indictment on the recruitment and retention team that talented players that are coming through are not being retained. And I understand, you know, his path's blocked with Brown and Moses there, but, you know, you can sell him a vision to where he's going to fit in going forward. And, you know, Raiders have obviously done that, even though they've identified other players that are sitting in the six and the seven role at Canberra at the moment. So there's similar blockages over there, and it hasn't deterred him from signing an extended agreement down in the nation's capital. And then I guess on the back of that, Ham, you were just talking about some news in relation to Blaze.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's just been reported. Daily Telegraph?
Dave Riccio, yeah.
Yeah, that Blaze Slunger rejects the option to stay at Parramatta. You know, that doesn't mean he's not going to re-sign with the club. But surely, you know, I understand he's got a manager that has to do right for his client or thinks he's doing right for his client or right for himself. But surely, like, Blaze is, you know, we can see the obvious talent in Blaze. We've all seen it. There's a reason why, you know, he's the first player of that crop to be playing first grade. He's physically big enough. He's got the talent. Surely you'd have to have something nutted out by now. Surely.
I mean,
yeah.
My immediate concern is there was another player we had a few years ago that was in the same, if not better, sort of category of esteem he was held in Stefano Tuikamanu, and we managed to lose him. So as soon as a player becomes off contract at this point, I'm not feeling pretty confident.
And the thing is, like, to me, it's an easy sell. It's an easy sell for Blaze. There's options in the back line. There's a potential spot at fullback. We don't know what Gutho's going to be returning like. You know, it's a very easy sell. Like, what's our attention doing? He's been the player since he was 15 years old playing Harold Matz. He's been the guy. And then, you know, not only do we have retention not signing him up, we have him playing fullback, centre, 5/8 off the bench. We have him. What's our plan with him? What's our plan?
I don't disagree.
Like, you look at other clubs, you know, you might have someone going from a centre to wing, or somewhere if they've got a couple of players out in the juniors or in reserve grade, but they're not making monumental shifts. Like, we want this guy, and I think he can be a perennial part of our spine for the next 10 years. And we're moving him around. Like, you know, if he was in first grade playing centre, I understand it, because you want him to toughen up and play first grade. But if we wanted to be fullback, why is he playing in the halves in reserve grade? Doesn't make sense to me. We've shown in the past we're happy to put flops in the halves in Dan Keir. Well, why couldn't we have played Dan Keir in the halves in that game and then put Blaze at fullback? Doesn't make sense.
I do not disagree at all.
All right. Well, let's move along. I think Birdie's here. Birdie, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's doing? I was going to say an inappropriate word, but yeah.
We're just about to move into the preview, starting with Jersey Flag 40:45 PM on Saturday, the 11th of May, down at Amy Park. So this is the curtain raiser to first grade, which will be the Storm taking on the Sharks down there as well. Having a look at this team list, Raphael, the brother of Dom DeStratis, comes in. So does Brown.
Tinkham Brown, yeah.
Go too easy. William Lewis, and then a couple of players going out: Archie Pryke, Abdo, and for Tyler Mariner. What are we? And there's nobody named at 5/8.
No, it's the legendary TBA or vacant, a la Queensland Origin approach. I am surprised that they're moving Arpa out of 5/8, where it seems like he's made a real fist of it on this 2-game winning streak for the Eels. So either that's a clerical error between the Eels and New South Wales Rugby League, or they've got someone in mind that I can't really think of that they're bringing in to, they feel benefits the team more than Arpa there, or having Arpa in the centres in this, you know, TBA player is going to help the team more. So interesting to see. I don't know. I mean, otherwise the team's, it's pretty straightforward. It looks like, and Sixies was speaking about this on the tip sheet, that this squad has had a lot of injury turnover throughout the season. There's been a lot of guys on a week-to-week basis that have been unavailable, and I don't think that's any different this week with, you know, Vitala Mariner and Abdo and whatnot, who have been part of the squad for the last couple of weeks when they've been healthy, now out. You just got to roll those punches. Saxon's not out via injury, which is good. He's up in the cup for a promotion. But if they keep doing what they've been doing, they should have beaten the Storm about a month ago. They played them and were up 12-0 and ended up losing 24-12. So this is a game that they can absolutely put in the bank if they hold on to the football and don't do any dumb stuff. And that's been really the critical issue for them for most of this season. And it looks like at least in the last couple of weeks, they've found something of a positive rhythm that is letting them, you know, go from competing and then tripping over near the end to actually getting those two competition points across 2 weeks, or four, but two each week.
You just mentioned there, 40, that Arpa Twiddle's going into the centres with an unnamed number 6. I do note that Cabramatta Sydney Shield, who we've been using when our Jersey Flag guys aren't playing Jersey Flag, they're playing for Cabramatta Sydney Shield, this week have taken out every single Jersey Flag eligible player that has played last week. So if you go into New South Wales Rugby League, it's a list of, looks about 10 or so players that, you know, a mixture of current SG Ball graduates from this year, and SG Ball graduates from last year, and a couple of external buys. They're all out of Cabramatta, so I don't know what's going on there. And they haven't popped up at another team, so I'm not sure what the deal is there. It's because of being so low in terms of grade, we'd never find out.
Yeah.
All right, and then we move across to the knock-on effect New South Wales Cup. The Bears in fourth, taking the Eels in 12th, Sunday the 12th of May. This is one's at North Sydney Oval, for those who like a good oval. Always a chance to get out there. Having a look at that, so Brendan Hands returns back from a first-grade stint. Ethan Martin promoted onto the wing in this grade, where he should have probably been playing all this year. Kyle Castle, Morgan Harper returns, and Saxon Price gets the upgrade. And then coming out of that squad is a number of players that went up to first grade, but Dan Keir is no longer in this group. Is that because of injury, or we're not quite sure?
No idea.
He did only play 15 minutes against Blacktown the other week.
Okay. Having a look at that squad, that's probably one of the better squads we've rolled out this year in this grade.
Yeah, for sure. I think... you know, you mentioned it, Ethan Martin. I'm a big fan of Ethan. You know, nearly 200 metres average between his two games of fullback. 14 tackle breaks there. As you said, should have been playing on the wing from the get-go or even centre. From there, we've put some bodgy players out there, so might as well have someone that's young in there rather than, you know, 25, 26-year-olds. It says a lot to me, the 6 and the 9, you know. I really hope that one day Matty Arthur will be able to debut in first grade and, you know, people at least show some level of respect and dignity and not boo him, because the fact that he's holding out a top 30 player from his wanted position shows how good this kid is.
And just looking, so in the corresponding fixture earlier this year, I think that was our first win, 30-28 over the Bears. Having said that, the Bears team list looks a little bit different. I'm not quite sure of all of these players coming in because they're associated with the Storm at this point, aren't they?
Correct. But it seems like there's a pretty high variance in the amount of Storm players that might turn out in a given week. So I'm not sure what the actual arrangement is in terms of giving the Bears priority for their players and then giving Melbourne priority for the guys they want getting a run in Reggie's.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be too much to my eye of first grade Melbourne Storm players. There is a former Eel there, Jaden Yates, on the bench. Yeah. A
couple of former Eels.
Was Philip Makatoa also with us?
No.
No. Louis was.
Yep.
He's been, went to Manly and now at North Sydney.
All right, so yeah, they'll be up for it in this game, obviously playing away. We'll see how they go. But they did get the upper hand earlier in the year, only just by that 2-point victory. Then into the main affair, the Eels take on the Broncos, your 8 p.m. slot on Friday, the 10th of May. Eels in 12th taking on the Broncos in 7th. Just going through these team lists, so we start with the Broncos. Reece Walsh at fullback, Corey Oates and Dean Mariner on the wing. Katoni Staggs and Selwyn Cobbo in the centres. The halves are Ezra Mem and Josh Rogers comes into 7 following that injury to their top line, a halfback, Adam Reynolds. And there was also an injury suffered by the backup who was formerly at West Tigers. His name escapes me right at the moment.
Jock Madden?
Jock Madden, that's the one. So they're down to their fourth string half. Then in the forwards, they've got Corey Jensen, Payne Haas, Billy Walters at hooker, Brendan Piakura, Jordan Ricci in the second row, Pat Carrigan at lock. The interchange bench is Tyson Smoothie, Xavier Willison, Kobe Hetherington, and Jack Jetski. Is that his first game with the Broncos? Yes, or did he play last week?
He got a compassionate release just the other week, and now this is his first game as a Bronco.
So looking at players that have come out from last week, so they lost Jesse Arthurs, who was he at centre or on the wing? I can't quite recall.
Wing.
Out on the wing.
Wing. So Corey Oates comes in for him, and then Adam Reynolds out, of course, is replaced by Rogers. For us, Gutho is injured. We're expecting him back. I think the injury report said 5-ish weeks after that minor knee surgery. So Blaise Talangi starts at fullback. Somehow Maker Sevo has retained a wing spot. Bailey Simonson on the other wing spot. Sean Russell comes into centre with Will Penasini. Then in the halves, we've retained Ethan Sanders, Dill Brown. Starting props are presently Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Barlow. Paolo named captain. Joey Lussick at hooker. Second row is Sean Lane, Ryan Madison with Jermaine Hopgood at lock. The interchange bench is Bryce Cartwright, Makahesi Makatoa, Joe Offahengawe, Kelma Tuolungi, extended bench Luca Moretti, Morgan Harper, Dejon Arcee, Wiramu Greg, and Brendan Hands. Having a look at that team list, Birdie, start with you. Do you expect there to be a change to at least that starting forward rotation?
To be honest, I'd love for Bryce to start, but I don't know if he's match fit to come straight in. I don't know what's with Maddow and Lane. They just look unfit. They just look lazy, and they've like as if they've aged a million years, you know, the last 12 months. So I'd love for Bryce to start, as I said, but yeah, I just want to go back. I don't get Brad Arthur as a coach, right? Like, the last time we played, Mekasivo did a horrible, unnecessary, elbow to the back of the head to get Timon Simbin. You know, I don't get, why you're rewarding him again. Maybe we've got no one else left, but I don't see why.
I don't think there's a maybe there, Birdie. If you look at that cup team, Sivo should not play first grade for the rest of the year, but who are you picking? Sean Russell was dog shit last time he played wing. He was really bad. When I say dog shit, Sean is he tries his heart out, but he had a really bad game in Darwin. Blew a couple of opportunities that would have had us up 20 points or thereabouts.
What do you have to do? I'm not trying to be smart ass, but what do you have to do to get dropped for poor performance? Like, this guy literally elbowed the opposition center in the back of the head on the fifth tackle. Like, we were praising him and pretty much not say cost us the game, but it was a brain snap. I don't know what does he have to do? Like, if he wasn't scoring, two, three tries, or wasn't like this try scorer,
I don't disagree, but who are you picking? Like, tell me, look at our team. This is an issue, and I will posit that Brad Arthur is far from faultless, but this isn't a multifaceted problem. This is a catastrophic systemic failure on multiple levels. The fact that we do not have someone that we can pick when a winger goes rogue, when there are 16 other teams that can pull young, big, fast wingers out of their backsides on a week-to-week basis. I mean, what's happening? This, like, again, Sivo should not be playing first grade right now, let alone the rest of this season. I agree with you 100%. And the fact that BA's has picked him annoys me greatly. But in saying that, who are we picking? You drop him and it's Morgan Harper on the wing, or it's Sean Russell on the wing. That is literally the options that we have right now.
We're just rewarding mediocrity, and this roster is, it's a basket case. Like, we make fun of West Tigers previously, they're bored, Look, I don't know who assembled this roster. I don't know who should get the praise, or, I just don't get how you go into the season and you've got literally dog shit everywhere. Like, I just don't get it. Like, and, the club, at least show us signs that you are trying to rectify the issue. Instead of just sitting, all we're getting is we're sitting on our hands, and we've got Zach Lomax coming next year, and that's it, job's done. I don't see any aggressive, pursuits. Like, you look at what happened the other day with David Fifita, Penrith were leading the race for him, and in a matter of hours, two new clubs come in with an offer. Like, where's that aggression? Like, where's the ambition from this club to improve this roster? Like, you can't tell me, oh, there's no one available, we're not going to do anything. Go after someone. Like, we're not shy to do that. We went to the Dragons through the front door and asked for permission. So go and ask for permission. Like, you sitting on your hands expecting this change to happen when you don't do anything is stupid. Like, it's kind of like you've got to initiate contact or initiate something to make change. And this club is just, they're either weak, they're scared, or they're clueless. So, I don't know. It's just, we obviously need help there, and they're not doing nothing to address it.
Yeah, I think making
help, I think we need a change.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, Hammond. I think the club as a whole has sat on its hands since making a grand final in 2022. They were locked into some players who probably aren't living up to the standard that they were setting back in that time, and thought that they would get the best out of them continuing, and as such have not rejuvenated this roster. But just looking at that Broncos roster, they won a wooden spoon, 3 years ago? And look at that back line there. That's, Corey Oates is getting on in age, and he usually has a bit of a shit game against us all the time. But outside of that, 1 through 6 are fantastic. And usually they'd have Reynolds at halfback, and they've got another, and they're down to their fourth string halfback. But 1 through 7 there, it's just strike all across the pack if you pop back in those players that are out due to injury.
I think outside of Walsh there, sorry to butt in there, but you look at Staggs, Cobbo, Mariner, in the past, Farnworth, Payne Haas, Pierre Cora, Jordan Rickey, Patrick Carrigan, all these young guys, they stuck with them, they knew that they were talented. They knew what they could bring. They were, you know, they just had to have time to toughen up and be first graders. Now they're first graders. They've got a young, exciting, dynamic team. And obviously, you know, Reece Walsh went over to New Zealand, so they couldn't keep him. But sometimes you have to stick with these young guys. Like, Sean Russell may not be the world's greatest backline player, but I think he's got a lot more talent than some other older players have put in. Same with Blaise Talangi. To me, he's got a lot more talent than Mike Acevo and Morgan Harper. He should be in the team. We've got to stick with them. And, yeah, it might be a short-term pain, but you look at the Broncos, you look at the Panthers. Like, you look at the Panthers X amount of years ago, Jerome Luai sucked. Dylan Edwards sucked. Isaiah Yeo couldn't pick a spot in first grade. Now he's the best lock in the game. Nathan Cleary, some of his own fans were saying he should move to hooker. Yet they stuck with them. We're not willing to stick with the young guys as soon as they make one mistake. You know, it's the coach and it's the fans. We just want to crew. If they're not absolute superstars from game one to game 350, they're shit and we want to get rid of them.
I'm more talking about like the likes of, like, and I'm not trying to disrespect these players, but Zach Sini, you know, Hayes Dunster, like Morgan Harper to a degree, like these players, like we know what their ceiling is or, you know, whatever it is. It's just not good enough. And we shouldn't be handing out roster spots just for the sake of it. Like, and I'll
always defend Hayes Dunster. That's,
I get that. And unfortunately, his body's failing him or his body's not, he can't keep up with it. And I'm not disrespecting him, but is he good enough to be a first grade winger? Is he good enough to be the backup first grade winger? And we shouldn't be holding on to sentimental, like, you understand? Like, so if you're not good enough, if you're not, like, going to contribute to the team, there's the door. Like, I feel as though this club doesn't have enough tough conversations, you know, amongst it. Like, it's all, like, we're trying to get along with each other, trying to be happy. Like, no one really has stern conversations to tell them, hey, this is not good enough, you need to improve.
Yeah, I don't know if Dunster's the best example. That's one of those ones where it's an absolutely catastrophic injury that was brought about by foul play from an opponent, and he'd already signed that deal before that injury occurred. But I think, you know, we could definitely level some of that criticism at, you know, signing players like Zach Sini, Morgan Harper, Lumi. You know, those are players.
I don't agree with Hayes Dunster in that in instance, but I think Birdie's on the right path. Tevita Taumupenu, Jaira Rimomasia, yes, he's Kai Rodwell, yes, these players are now left the club. But at the start of the year when you had, you know, you're trying to get guys in, you've got these absolute spuds in the top 30 taking up space. Like, Kai Rodwell had one good season. He was never going to be a regular first grade player. Like, you're better off having a young guy that might not be quite ready for first grade, but you build him up to be a first grader. Jaira Rimomasia has just been a nobody for the Storm, the Knights, whoever he's played for. And we gave him a 2-year deal. Tevita Taumupenu, we signed him from Jersey Flegg. You know, he was a solid workhorse prop. We got those coming out of our wazoo in the juniors. Why are we signing him to a top 30 deal?
And like, and if the club comes to us and say, oh, you know, we were okay with our depth and we were expecting, you know, from Richard Pennicini and AMS, you know, Arthur Miller-Steven to contribute, that's just ludicrous because, you know, one's barely out of SG ball and the other one's played one game and you dropped him. So, like, whether you look at it, I'm not trying to be hard on Hayes, but for far too long, this club has rewarded top 30 contracts or roster spots to, as you say, spuds. I'm not calling him a spud, but you've got to earn your spot and you've got to, like, bring value. So, like, we can't be just handing him out willy-nilly. We've got to, like, be smart with, because as I said, what if we had a full roster and we're trying to get some guy who's available and we can't because we have to release someone? Like, you know, look at how many people do we have at the club right now in the roster spot? What, 25, 26? Like, it's just...
Nah, even less.
Less. It's just like we're barely going to be able to field 21 fit players, you know, because we've got literally no one filling it in. So, you know, I made a joke about it the other day. We probably don't got enough car park spots. That's why we kind of have a full 30, you know, team. But yeah, it's just mind-boggling and head scratching.
Back to the game. The squad that we do have assembled on there. So I think that first leap-off point. Do we reckon Barlow starts on the bench, and Ryan Madison, if he is to start, do we expect Bryce Cartwright to come in fairly shortly, and then Ryan to continue in the middle rotation? Is that how you guys see it playing out?
Yeah, I think so. It has to, doesn't it? You know, it hasn't really worked much recently, but Junior off the bench has just been, when he started, he's been, I don't know, seems like he's distracted It seems like he wants to, even against Canberra when he come off the bench, his first touch of the game was a pass. Junior should not, in his first stint, should not be passing the ball at all. You know, obviously shaped for a pass with a short, with a short option there. But don't pass the ball. If you're going to ball play, if you're one-on-one or two-on-one, get an offload away. Don't pass. You're not a, you're 120 kilos. I understand you can pass, but that doesn't mean you should pass.
Yeah, run first option really needs to be emphasised for Dunes. I know he's trying to do a bit too much. Yeah, a bit too much in the absence of Moses being there. Sean Russell to centre. Do you reckon that's probably a better spot for him? And, you know, obviously things haven't worked, especially defensively, with our outside backs. Is it more of a Hail Mary to see if that'll be a better spot for him than on the wing?
I think it might be to try and get a bit of speed in the centres out on that side, because Sivo next to Harper, Bahati Hill, I think the forward pack could outrun them. So I think it's trying to get some speed out there and alleviate Walsh and Staggs, I think, plays out on the right for the Broncos. So, you know, try and get a bit of speed out there with Russell. Far out. You talk about speed. Sivo up against Dane Mariner. There's one play the Broncos could do all game, and it'll get us every single time. And so it's just going to be that little kick in behind Sivo, doesn't turn and chase, and then Dane Mariner is going to burn him.
Beast.
Yeah.
40, things are sounding a little dire here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, even considering the fact that the Broncos have had Adam Reynolds and, to a much lesser extent, the winger, whose name now eludes me, Jesse Arthurs. They would have been heavy favourites if we were full strength and in good form. They're obviously grand finalists last year. They've got one of the most electric rosters across the NRL. And while our team, even considering our struggles this year, still contests very well with Penrith, because we're built in a way to compete with Penrith, I think we struggle with out-and-out pace the way that the Broncos have, that sort of, you know, gear six, gear seven sort of pace, and it's going to be brutal. I struggle to find an optimistic matchup in this game. Instead, I sort of look towards, you know, areas. Well, what I was initially hopeful and excited about in stuff like Blaise Tonga playing fullback, but then obviously the breaking news that we had just before we went to air about him going to the market and declining his player option sort of soured that. It doesn't mean that he's gone, but it means that this is no longer just an internal run for him to find his grooves at fullback for Parramatta, but now a straight up showcase to the rest of the NRL about his wares at that spot. So I don't know. Things are pretty bad. I'll still enjoy him playing fullback, I suppose, and he's going to make mistakes. He's very new to the position. Aside from that, I just want to see a bit of ticker. I've got this one written off as a loss and potentially a big loss, but I would love to see our boys show just a bit of courage, a bit of spite even to the Broncos. You know, don't let them roll you over. But as I wrote in my Team List post just now on TCT, I think that the conversation about Arthur is obviously going to intensify after this week, but I don't think this is a result that really should influence it. I think that past results already this season and future results should, but given the context of this game, no Gutherson, no Moses, Bryce is back, but we don't know if he's really healthy because it's a rib injury and he just had like 2 weeks off. That does, your rib doesn't heal in 2 weeks. I don't think the Eels are going to be that competitive in this one.
Having said that, looking at last year, the results were going down 26-16 against the Broncos. That was the Darwin game, and that scoreline really flatters us. And then the other fixture, which was played up at Suncorp, which was 54-10 in Broncos' favour. So obviously last year they got the double over us and on their march towards the grand final. Having said that, our record against the Broncos in the NRL era, 26 wins from 50 starts, 24 to the Broncos. So it's not diabolical. And we always seem to have this weird, really good game against the Broncos every now and then, even when the Broncos are running hot. Having said that, things haven't been probably this dire for a while. Broncos winning 5 from 9 this season. Eels winning 3 from 8. Broncos have had injury concerns week to week, but I guess what club hasn't so far this season? It seems to be a catastrophic toll of injuries, especially to some top-line players. I did quite like NRL physio the other day, leaving off in his top 17 injured one system halfback, Nathan Cleary, in favour of Mitch Moses at 7 there. That gave me a bit of a chuckle. Having said that, boys, we're back at home. Show a bit of heart, bit of courage. in order to get over the top. Ham, you've already identified that short kick in behind. I think we know how the Broncos like to play. It's fast up the middle of the field, and I think my danger man for them is somebody who we make look like a modern-day Cameron Smith in Billy Walters, but second to that, Tyson Smoothie is someone who can certainly pick out markers being lazy at the ruck, and I think that's something we've been very bad at defending across not just this year but in the past, having our markers just be really lazy in getting to their feet and splitting correctly and just playing back under through the ruck. And if the Broncos get a roll on doing that, it could be really disastrous for us.
We really need to limit the meters of the Broncos. I just had a look. Josh Rogers has been playing 5/8 for the Burley Bears in reserve grade. He's only averaging 100 meters a game for kicking. So they don't have a recognised kicker. At least with us, Sanders is a kicker. Dylan Brown is probably better than Ezra Mann. Talangi can put up a bomb. And Joey Lussick's not too bad out of dummy half. So both teams really missing their kicking this week. It just depends who makes more metres, really, when they've actually got the ball. I think, it's not hard, this one. It's not hard. Keep it simple, stupid. What's the three slogan? Straight, direct, complete the set, because the Broncos love a drop ball, especially Reece Walsh. I think he had about 4 errors last week. So, you know, if you complete the set, play simple, tough footy, then we can get close.
I think we need to do that given the forecast. It's meant to be rain all this week, and particularly it's meant to rain in the afternoon and evening on Friday night. So, you know, look at the blueprint from Newcastle Knights last week. Defend your ass on your try line. And then, you know, just run block plays or dinks in behind for kicks when you're in the opposition 20. That's really all you can do. Play wet weather football and let the Broncos make some errors, because they're keen to chance their hand constantly and they won't go away from it even when, as you just said beforehand, Walsh is dropping the ball every second set. So, all right, Birdie, try score our eventual score.
Look, I'm going to back our team always. I think we're going to win 24, Broncos 16. First try, I'm going to go with Blaise Talangi. I reckon he'll score from a bomb. And yeah, so his value will rise and we'll win the game. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game. I don't know. I have faith that this coaching, I don't have faith in the front office. I have faith in this coaching squad or whatever it is, that they've worked hard and they're prepared for this game. You know, they've had, 10 days, 14 days, whatever. I reckon they'll get the job done. And we'll all forget about it and we'll be back buying grand final tickets Monday morning. Hopefully.
Woody.
Yeah, I'm not so optimistic. I think our best hope is that they are a bit more of a rabble without Adam Reynolds at the helm. But even then, I think they've just got the strike power to brute forces between Carrigan and Haas through the guts, and then the speed of Walsh around them. So I'm going to tip Brisbane for a pretty healthy win, 40-18. First try scorer for us. Let's go Dillbags.
Him.
I'm going opposite. Parramatta's been 40-18. Dylan to also score the first try.
All right, put me down for Blaze at fullback for first try scorer, and then put me down for an Eagles victory, but it's going to be defence optional, even in the rain. 38-34.
I'll take it.
Any victory, I think, we'll take at this point. Things are not looking good after those second half capitulations, one against Manly and two against the Dolphins, amongst some other poor performances so far this year.
The games that we've lost, we could have won. Like that Tigers game, we should have won. Manly last week, we should have won. If we'd won those games, we're sitting in sixth, I think.
You know the saying about if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Yeah, if my grandma...
I had a different one. If my aunt had wheels, she'd be a robot. That's, or something.
No, it's the Italian bicycle. The Italian idiom is if my aunt or grandma had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
That's it. Similar. lost the translation.
Gino DiCampo say that. Yes, Good Morning Britain. Yeah,
yes. It was a cooking segment, wasn't it? And then they just fell apart laughing, saying, "What did you say?"
Right then, boys. Well, on that dire note, although a little bit of a pump up there at the end, we will leave it there. Hopefully, you can make it out to the game in that trudging wet. Newcastle got 16,000 out to their home game the other day in that torrential weather. Be nice to get a nice crowd out there on Friday at 8 to cheer on the boys, and hopefully they repay the faith with a performance which respects the effort of our supporters getting out there. If not a win, a good showing.
Yes.
Well said.
All right, then. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much, boys, and we'll catch you on the next Power Podcast.
Ciao for now.